All right, we are going today to look at the idea or the concept of promised land. Promised land, and what's the promise that God has given us? To me, promised land equals destiny. You know, the children of Israel's destiny was to come out of Egypt and to go in to the place that God has prepared for them. And it's the same kind of picture for you and I, because we are supposed to come out of sin and into the relationship with God and into the ministry and the calling that He's placed upon our lives. And so we need to try to get our mind wrapped around that. So when you think of promised land, think of destiny. Now, a lot of us are parents and we've heard the old saying, are we there yet? How many kids have ever said that, you know, when you're on a trip or going somewhere? We all usually want to get there really quick. And sometimes we even want to take a shortcut. Has anybody ever taken a shortcut and ended up being a long cut? You know, I've tried that a time or two. And, you know, God, you know, has a promised land for each and every one of us. You know, everybody here has a specific purpose that God has preordained for them to do. And God wants us to get to the place where we have, get to the land that's flowing with milk and honey. You know, it's a place of abundance, a place of provision. And if we want to walk in provision, then we need to follow to the provider. And that's what we need to do. The passage we're going to look at today is in Joshua. We looked at Joshua last week about memorials. And today we're going to look at Joshua's next step, right? We all need to take that next step. It wasn't enough they crossed the River Jordan on dry ground. Then they had the next step, and that's what we're going to kind of not look at the whole thing, but we're going to look at the start of it. It says in Joshua 5, verse 13 to 15, it says, "Now it came about, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us, or are you for our adversaries?' Then he said, 'No, rather I indeed come now as a captain of the host of the Lord.' And then Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, 'What has my Lord to say to his servant?' And then the captain of the Lord host said to Joshua, 'Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And then Joshua did so." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the anointing of God that breaks every yoke that is trying to hold us back from your best, Lord, to getting us to the place that we need to be. Lord, right now we just yield to you and we pray for the supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I thank you that we as pray, Lord, again for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation here today and leading us, guiding us by the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is just quickening our mortal bodies. And we bind Satan from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're looking at the promise or promised land today. You know, the idea, the first point is we need to get to our promised land or our destiny. We need to get to. Now, Joshua had just, I bet that was a weird thing. He was a leader. He was the leader. And good leaders go out and they want to scope out the next day's job. You know what I'm saying? So he was over there and he's kind of looking at Jericho, and you have to think about it. These people have been wandering for 40 years. They had never faced a walled adversary before. They've had a couple battles out in the desert, but usually it's just, you know, no walls. I mean, no, you know, so for people to hide behind. Well, now he had crossed the river and he was checking out the next thing that they were supposed to do. And what happened here is what he ran into this guy and he said, "Are you for me or for the other guy?" But something changed there. Joshua's perspective had to change, just like your and my perspective has to change sometimes. Because the angel of the Lord straightened him right out. He kind of said, "It's not about your team or the other team. It's about God's team. And you can choose what team you want to be on. Do you want to be on God's team? That's what we have to choose." And see, then Joshua fell to his knees and he started to, you know, give him honor. And if we have the right perspective, we will be able to obtain our objective. And that's what we have to get to in our life. Whatever the objective is, but our perspective has to be proper. Because I can't imagine what happened that day of asking, you know, and you remember in the schoolyard when they used to pick teams and they used to pick two captains, you know, and then you're picking teams and then, you know, could you imagine God just standing off there to the side and, you know, they're wanting you to play on your team. Now you play on my team. You know, that's how we need to get. Now, it's okay to have plans. You know, man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. See, we have to make sure that we're in the place and going to the doing the things that God wants to do. See, our promised land is really the promised land that God has laid out for us. And we need to come to the conclusion in our life that we want to walk with God. You know, remember, Joshua had just gotten promoted last week. You know, he was a young leader. And he'd been in the wilderness, and little by little, Moses was delegating responsibility over him, trying to raise him up in the congregation's eyes, you know, so they could see that, hey, Joshua is my successor. He's the one who's going to follow after me and take you all the way. But I'll tell you what, walking behind Moses or trying to fill his shoes in the eyes of the people would have been very difficult. I mean, like we said, Moses talked to God face to face. Nobody else could talk to God like that. You know, everybody else got a dream or a vision, but God actually had conversations with God face to face. And so he had quite a following in a sense of respect. But then all of a sudden last week when we looked at it, Joshua was part of the situation and he led the people across the River Jordan, and that had elevated him to a great place in the people's eyes. So when you get into a situation where you've been elevated, you got to be careful that you don't get prideful. And that's what had happened here. He had the audacity to say to this angel, are you on our side or the other side? And the angel straightened him right out. He says, no, you need to get on our side. Joshua took his sandals off because that was holy ground. And I'll bet there's times in your life, at least if there hasn't been one, pray that God will give you one. Where you come into a situation where God shows up big time. I just remember one time right now. I was driving somebody. I went to a camp meeting down in Centerville. And then this one guy, he couldn't see. But he wanted to go to that camp meeting because Lester Sumwall was preaching there. And he rode his bicycle all the way from Ottumwa to Centerville. And there is no shortcut. There's only a long cut, right? There ain't no quick way of getting there. Well, it was, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and didn't want him, and he was partially blind, and there was no way we wanted to send him out on a bicycle, you know what I'm saying? So I gave him a ride from Centerville back through Abbey, down the Ottumwa, and back again. Somehow, on the way back from Ottumwa, God showed up in my truck. I had a little Ford Ranger, and I'll tell you what, it was holy ground, because I had been crying to God, pouring out my heart to God, about some things that, I felt that God was going to do. And God showed up big time that day. And it just filled the presence of my truck. And I knew that God was doing something special. That was a time, a point in my life where I really needed a touch from God. And I know that we all have those from time to time. So I encourage you to not give up, but just keep on pressing in. You know, Joshua was standing at the door of promise. You know, Jericho was the first step. I mean, like I said, it wasn't enough that they crossed the river. They still had to go possess the land. And Jericho was the first, place where they had to really trust God and go into battle and to see what God was going to do. And it's not us versus them, but it's God and us versus them. And we must execute God's plan. And that's what Joshua was finding out here. Because if we don't get our perspective right, it's going to get all wrong. Because many people have been led astray in life because they get off base or they get off on a tangent. They're not following God the way that God laid it out, and then they fall short of God's glory. What I found out, and I hope you have too, God called us long before I ever called on Him. And God has a plan. See, I dibbled and dabbled a little bit while, chasing after God and doing this and doing that. Finally, the day that I bowed my knee to Jesus Christ and I started to fall into God's plan. And what I have found out that God is always playing chess while we're playing checkers. You know what I mean? You know, we're just thinking about our next move. And see, God is looking far beyond that. Because when we're just planning our first move, God has already planned our next game. He sees far beyond all we could ever ask or think. So it's only natural that you and I would want to tap into God and start to find out really what God has for our life. What's the promised land that He's called you into? And we have to understand that God has always called us out of something, out of our present circumstances, into something better. Remember, Abraham had a pretty good life. Things were going good. Had a lot of stuff. I mean, if that's really what life's all about. But see, God told him, you got to leave your family. I want you to pack up and go to a new place. See, the place that it was at, yeah, he had a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of idols and idol worship there. And God wanted to separate him and do something great in him. And I believe God is calling you out. He's wanting to separate you because he wants to do something great through you. But to do that, you have to let him call you out so that then he can call you in. You'll never get to go in unless you're willing to go out. And once we get to that place in our life, God can start to work miracles. Second, you know, Israel. I mean, it was a tough life. They were slaves. But they were taken care of. They had to make bricks, but they always had something to eat, and they always had a place to lay their head. It's kind of like prison, wasn't it? I mean, if you don't want to take care of yourself, go break the law. Right? They'll feed you. They'll give you a place to lay down. But you're in prison. And see, that's where we are sometimes. If we're not willing to step out and to come out of the things. And what happened is that Abraham prophesied that in 400 years, my descendants are going to come out and go into their promised land. And you know what happened? It happened just as it said. See, God is playing chess while we're playing checkers. God had it planned out that the people were down there for a while, but then it was time for them to come out and to go into the place that God had prepared for them. And I believe God's calling you out to the place that He has prepared for you. See, God can see around the corner when we can only see down the road. See, we can just see a little bit. But see, God knows what's around the corner. And that's why we need to fall in line with Him and to follow Him. You know, I think of that old song, Jesus Take the Wheel, right? You know, we just need to allow Him to take control of our life. That doesn't mean we stop thinking, but it means that we bring Him in because God's called us out of sin, at least sinning willfully. We all make mistakes. Everybody, you know, we all fall short of the glory, you know, in our own natural. We do stupid stuff. We say stupid stuff. Or is that just me? I don't know. I mean, you can ask my wife. She'll test it. We can get testimony today. You know, what's Pastor Brad like really to live with? You know, I mean, it's not that good a deal. You'd think it might be better than it was, but it's not. But, you know, the idea of sinning willfully, when I know not to do something and I do it anyway, that's a problem. God's called us out of that. So that's why we need to decide, I want you to think about this, that God has something better for us than we have now. That's the only reason we'll change. You won't, you know, Christianity is not a step backwards or a step sideways. Christianity is a step forward. You know, a lot of people in their careers, they can, you know, take a step back or they take a lateral move and things like this. But we need to stop looking at Christianity like that. That Christianity is not something that, oh, we're just losing so much. But it's a step forward. It's a step towards your destiny. A step of why you were created, why you were put on this planet. We're not here just to eat and suck up air, you know what I'm saying? God has something better for us, and we need to be able to walk in that. So don't just focus on what you have to give up. See, in the children of Israel in Egypt, you know, that's what they kind of focused on. They focused on, oh, you know, we're going to have to get rid of this. You know, yeah, like I said, we have to make bricks, but, you know, they're taking care of us. But I'll tell you, don't settle for security of sin where you can have the sacredness of freedom. Because freedom always comes with a price. Salvation is free for us, but Jesus Christ had to pay for it. We need to give Him honor and glory for all that. Amen? Second point is that after we need to get to our promise, then now we need to go on in. You know, a lot of people standing at the border. You know what I mean? They're just in there looking. Just looking, oh yeah, that's what God has for me, but you know, I can't go in there and get that. You know, I don't know how. I don't know what I'd do. What do I do first? I don't know. See, we all have a barrier. Everybody has a barrier in their life. Don't think that somebody's so perfect or whatever that they don't have issues in their life. We all have those. But we all have a barrier that is between where we are now and where we need to be. And that barrier needs to be dealt with. Some people deal with the barrier and make it through. Some people let the barrier intimidate them. They just kind of pull back or don't want to challenge. I encourage you, you know, God will give you the grace to overcome. But we all have them barriers, and that's why the Bible says we need to walk by faith and not by sight. See, the problem is when we walk by sight, we never really see the miraculous of what God wants to do. See, it's only faith that can really move mountains in our life. You know, we all have mountains, those things that are in between us and where we need to be. Can you imagine the early settlers when they left, you know, the flat plains, and then they're heading to California, and all of a sudden they ran into a mountain. Oh, I can't do that. And turned around. Then California would never have been civilized. There's a joke there, isn't there? But, okay, we need to re-civilize it. Amen? Glory to God. From the flatlanders. Take some of our Midwest common sense. But natural limitations must be overcome by spiritual abilities. You have spiritual abilities inside of you. The things that God has placed inside of you. There's a seed, maybe. The seed's a start. But after that seed, something grows out of it. And through that, we can start to be able to start to exercise and to grow in the things. See, we need to replace I can't with God can through me. You know, replace that. Don't just look at things in life and say, I can't do that. Well, I know you can't. But God can through you. And see, that's where we need to get in our life. Don't let a barrier or an obstacle stop you from achieving greatness in the kingdom of God and getting to the place that He wants you to be. Because we all, every person here today, has mountain-moving, devil-casting faith inside of them. It's in there. We just have to let it out. It takes faith to walk up to somebody demon-possessed and say, get out in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It takes faith to walk up to some obstacle or mountain and say, get out of my way in the name of Jesus. But we can do that. But there's things that hold us back, and it's a four-letter word, and it's called fear, isn't it? We all have fears. We all have things going on in our life. To me, there's three basic fears, and we need to identify them working in our life. Number one's a fear of failure. Nobody likes to fail, do they? I mean, not in the right mind. You know, I love failing. No, nobody's like that. We don't want to fail, especially in front of other people. We want to be successful. We want to be the one who makes all the right decisions. So that can hold us back sometimes. Then maybe we have fear of lack of God's provision in our life. Maybe you feel God's calling you to do something different than you're doing right now. And so those things, you know, the fear or lack of God's provision in your life, maybe you've never experienced the way that, you know, you need. But you need to get past that fear. And lastly is the fear of man. What they'll think about me. I don't know about you, but I've been called crazy before. Crazy like a fox, right? Amen? Crazy. Just crazy. You're going to quit your job and do what? You're going to do this and what? I know what they say about me, but that's all right. I don't care. Amen. Don't take this personally. I love all you guys, but for the most part, I don't really care what you think about me. I mean, I want you to respect me as your pastor and stuff, but, you know, if my life revolves around your affirmation, amen, I have failed in the kingdom of God. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And it should be the same for you with anybody. Once I met Jesus Christ, I know I can just good enough to go anywhere with anybody, no matter who they are. Because I have the King of Kings living inside of me. And I'm not bound by natural limitations like that anymore. It's so liberating, so liberating. Lastly, we need to grow into our promised land. to get to that destiny. We need to grow into it. You know, a lot of times we think that, you know, we want to go in there as an adult, and that ain't how it works sometimes. See, Israel had to fight battles in the promised land. You wouldn't think they'd have to, would you? You'd think God, you know, God's just going to do it. Praise God. You know, God led them this far. He parted the water for them, and they're on dry land. They're just going to go in and just take over. Didn't work that way. They had to fight in the promised land. You know, there's wrong teaching out there when it says that, you know, all you got to do is give your life to Jesus. You'll never have another problem or battle in your life. I've never had so many battles since I became a Christian. But I've learned how to fight. And I've learned how to fight the good fight. Took a little while. Learn as you grow. Learn as you grow, right? You got to grow into it. And just because you have problems doesn't mean you're not in God's will. You know, sometimes, now I'm not saying you can't do stupid stuff. I know we all do that. But for the most part, you know, if you're really following after God, you're going to get some attacks. And with those attacks, there could be some problems that come in. You know, we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to make some wrong decisions. Hey, newsflash, as a Christian, you're going to make a wrong decision. You're going to miss God. You're going to think God told you something, and maybe he didn't. But don't let that get you down. Amen. Just desire to grow. Just desire to get better. Just desire to take that next step. And God will grow you up and teach you some things that you need to do. Children of Israel had some setbacks. I mean, they had just crossed the River Jordan on dry land. Big miracle. Set up the memorial stones like we talked about last week. Now they went to Jericho, which is a mighty walled city, and they marched around it 7 times, and then the wall fell down. Big miracles, right? God's on the move. Well, then they made a mistake. One of them coveted something because God said everything that you, all the plunder from Jericho is set apart for me. It's sacred for me. But somebody coveted it. They took a few things. And instead of dedicating it to God, they went and hid it in their tent. And unaware, they went into the next battle, which was Ai, which was a little smaller deal, so they didn't even send a bunch of people. They just knew this was going to be nothing. Went in there and got their hinies kicked. They got defeated. At least the first skirmish. And see, they had a setback because they wanted something that was dedicated for God and they kept it for themselves. Now, we know that God straightened all that out and the guy that did it got stoned to death. Things were a little rougher back then, so don't worry about it if you miss it now. We don't do that no more. Amen? Praise God. How many's glad we don't do that? I know I am. But know this, there's going to be some setbacks as you go into your promised land. You might covet something or do something that belongs to God, and God's going to straighten you out. Next, what happened is the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were a fairly strong group of people in that land, but they were scared to death of Israel. I mean, everybody was. I mean, here God parted the river, and then all of a sudden the walls fell down, and they were just beating up on everybody. And then the Gibeonites had a plan. Their plan was they're going to go and get some old bread, put on some old clothes and some old sandals. They're going to make it look like they traveled a long journey, and they're going to make a covenant with the people of Israel. Well, when these people came, they never prayed. Joshua and the leaders never prayed and asked God what to do. They just took their word for it. You know? Why would these people lie to me? So they took their word for it. Then they found out, aha, they're not from a far land. They're in the land that we're supposed to possess, and hypothetically, they were to all be put to death. But now they made covenant. That spared the Gibeonites. They listened to wrong counsel. So know this, that when you go into your promised land, be careful who you listen to. Make sure you're staying in tune with God. and hearing what God has for you. Pray about things that are especially important. You know, you just don't enter into business or some sort of a covenant thing with anybody. But I want you to know this, that no matter what mistake you make, you keep heading towards God. Just keep heading towards Him. And if you miss it, repent. If you get knocked down, get up. Doesn't really matter. Just keep heading towards God. Because God has a plan for your life. Now, also God told him that you're going to have to fight these battles, but I'm not going to wipe out the whole land real quick. Because if you did that, the animals would come in and overtake and it'd be harder to deal with. And that kind of is an interesting thing why God told him that. You know, you'd think he'd just go in there and do them all, but the animals, you know, he wanted them to grow little by little. And that's how you're going to grow into your promised land. It's little by little. You're not going to get there and get everything overnight. You have to grow into it. And what we obtain, we must be able to maintain. And that's how life really is. You know, a lot of people, if they don't know how to maintain it, they're not going to keep it. And see, little by little, as we're starting to obtain and to grow in the promise and into the destiny, into the calling that God has put upon your life. And as you grow in that, you're going to be able to handle it. And then you're going to start to get stronger in the things of God. So just be patient. Hang on. How many know we're not born an adult, right? Nobody's born an adult. Adam, he was created out of dirt, you know. But nobody else is born of adult. I mean, we start off as a kid, and hopefully you pay attention, kids, if you're here today. Pay attention to the adults, at least the smart ones anyway, and try to learn a few things as you go. You know, so that when you get old enough, you can start making right decisions. But see, that's how it is in the kingdom of God. That we have senior men and women of God that we can learn things from. And we can kind of take what they have and then we can run with it so we don't have to go through those problems ourselves. Now, I want you to think about it. What is your promised land and what are you going to do to get it? Last week we looked at general memorials and personal memorials, and I believe there's a general promised land for all believers. And what that is we're supposed to be transformed and conform to the image of Christ. Every Christian is supposed to be transformed to the image of Christ. That's a part of your promised land. God wants to sanctify us and set us apart. But I believe also that God has a personal destiny for each of us. You know, we're not here by chance, but we're here on purpose. And you have to see that. You're not here by chance. You're not put on this planet by chance. Maybe your mom and dad said you're a mistake, but you weren't. Maybe you just thought that there is nothing hopeful for you. Maybe you come out of a bad situation, a bad family situation, and just look like, you know, there's just nothing out there for you. But know this, that God had a plan for you. You're not here by chance, but you're here on purpose, and God wants to work inside of you and take you from where you are now and bring you into the place He wants you to be. But we have to humble ourselves to Him. You know, I dabbled in Christianity until finally I decided I wanted Jesus more than I wanted anything else, and my life changed and I started to go into my promised land. I stayed on the border for I don't know how many years, just looking in, just looking what maybe God had for me, but I didn't go in. I stayed on the outside. So I encourage you today, just get over it. Trust God. Let Him have your life. There's nothing better. Don't just settle for checkers when you have the grandmaster chess player that lives inside of you, that can see around the corner and can have everything planned out in your life. Let's pray.